Sunday message, Sunday the 17th of January 2021. Here we are, broadcasting from Saltrock by the Sea, trusting you all enjoying 2021 as it unfolds. Amen. Last week we were sharing on the subject of revelation, and I mentioned just how important it is as Christians for us to take the word and not just know it, but to get revelation from it. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He prayed that they might have a spirit of revelation, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. And as I said last week, unless the Holy Spirit enlightens the word of God to us, it is useless. In fact, it can be worse than useless, because we think we have it and we don't. Very important to understand that only when we have revelation of God's word does it become ours, and are we entitled to the power that is contained therein. Well, we taught that last week, and afterwards, as I did the previous week, I felt, you know, the subject is so vast and I've just covered the basics, so this Sunday I'd like to just continue with that subject. So once again, we'll call this Revelation Part 2. Amen. Let's just read the scriptures. We'll start with the scripture that we mentioned last week. Let's go to Psalm 81 verse 10. As I mentioned, used to be my favorite psalm. Still is my favorite. Got a different meaning for me now, as I try to explain. Psalm 81, and we just go to verse 10. Here it speaks about God's blessing. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Let's go to the New Testament and read the Gospel of John. John 16:12. John 16 verse 12. Here we see the Lord is speaking to his disciples. He's been with them for plus minus 3 years. He's imparted so many things to them. And here he is giving the last sort of piece of education before he gets crucified. And he mentions this. John 16 verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them yet. You cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Amen. Now, we spoke about revelation, and the point is that it's so very, very important. I hope we've all grasped that. The Bible means nothing until the Holy Spirit himself has actually revealed it. And you see, the power of that revelation is that what is contained in that word now becomes ours. We can know all about healing, as I explained. Until we have it revealed to us that God wants us healed, we will not experience supernatural healing. And that is the situation with many, many Christians, you see. We have to have personal revelation. As I said, once that revelation is ours, the power of it becomes ours. And as you read the Bible, you'll see there's considerable power. There's immense power available to those who believe. That one scripture in Ephesians speaks about that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might understand the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. His power towards us. In other words, his power working on us, in us, and through us. The power of God available to you and I. Now, you see, that's something that's so stupendous. I mean, God created the whole universe. He stretches out, as I said, the heavens as a curtain. Just speaks and the seas flee from him. That awesome power that word speaks about is available to us. But you see, what is the key? We have to, of course, first have revelation about it. Ongoing revelation. This whole thing of revelation is ongoing. I might have revelation now that sickness can't touch me. But that doesn't mean I have all revelation concerning healing. Far from it. I need to have revelation of God's power to raise the dead. It's ongoing, is what I'm trying to say. And that is what the Lord was saying to his disciples. There's a lot of things I want to reveal to you, but I can't yet. You cannot bear them. And that's part of this process. You see, like I said last week, we need to hunger for revelation. The starting point is to realize that we don't have it. You see, we have to empty ourselves first. That's what that scripture is about, opening our mouth wide, partially. Making ourselves available. You see, God wants us to have revelation of his word, because when we have revelation, we are empowered to do what he wants to do on the earth. And he knows that if we don't have that revelation, we can't. We are ill-equipped. But you see, there's a process of getting that revelation. God is the one who gives it to us. We have to acknowledge that. We cannot make him do it. We cannot force him to do it. We cannot work to have it. But then you see, there's the other side of the coin. There's a lot of things we can do to make ourselves available. And that's what we're talking about here. The importance of making ourselves available so God can give us revelation. And obviously, the starting point, as I said, is to empty ourselves of what we know. As Paul said, he who thinks he knows a thing does not know as he ought to know. Speaking about himself as well. You see, we have to realize that our understanding is far too limited. You see, that's the starting point. And then we have to hunger for revelation. If you understand what it entails, if we understand what the benefits are, it would only be natural for you and I to hunger for it. But you see, if we have a lackadaisical attitude, oh well, if God wants to, he will. It'll never happen. Never happen. You see, and that's killed many a Christian, let me tell you. That attitude, oh well, if God wants me to have a revelation, he'll give it to me. Well, for information, God does want us to have the revelation. Our job is to prepare ourselves so that he can give it to us. You see, when the Lord was saying, I have so much to say, you can't bear it. Well, that's part of the process, you see. You and I have to position ourselves so that we can bear it. We can't just say, oh, well, God will give it to me when I can bear it. The injunction is to prepare ourselves so that we can bear it. And I'm going to share a few things that you and I can do. I hope to be very practical here. There are things you and I can do. We won't do them if we're not hungry. If you're satisfied with the level of your spiritual development at this stage, the level of power that God is able to demonstrate through, if you're happy, this message isn't for you. But if you're hungry, like I am, this is manna from heaven. This is the guts of the word. This is meat of the word. We're going to have a meal here. And it's not for the faint-hearted, let me tell you that right now. That we haven't got time, you see, to pamper the faint-hearted. We haven't got time to fool around anymore. We have to tell it as it is, and we have to get this thing straight. Otherwise, guess what? The Church of the Living God is going to be swept under. Very much like swimming in the sea. One of those big breakers comes, wow, you get swept under. Well, the church is going to be swept under if she does not develop into a mighty rock. Hallelujah. There's one swimming place which I really enjoy here. It's a massive bank of rock, and behind the rock is like a channel. And I sit there and I enjoy the waves as they are coming through that channel very gently. But the mighty waves are crashing on the rock outside. Praise God. And that's protection, you see. Now, the church is supposed to be that protection, that bulwark in society. But if we're fooling around, if we're playing church, if we're just happy with where we're at and just saying things like, oh, well, if God wants me to, then bless God, he'll do it. Well, you see, we're not taking this thing by the scruff of the neck, as it were, by the bull by the horns. And yeah, you see, we've got some information for us. But the first thing is, please, you and I need to develop a hunger for revelation. Just think about it. If you and I have a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power, the revelation that Paul was praying for the church, guess what's going to flow through you and I? That mighty power. The world is hungry for that, let me tell you. And nothing else right now is going to save our society. All right, so God's calling upon us. Now, I mentioned a few things. Of course, this humility business, very important. Recognize we don't know as we ought to know. I hope you all feel that way. I hope you all feel the hunger for more, much more of God. And you see, we need to turn this into a practical application, because it's all very well to say, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And God says, well, eat. You see, and we need to know how to eat. God wants to give us a revelation, you understand, but he has to wait for us to be ready for it. We have to prepare ourselves. The church has got to make herself ready, and we are the church. Amen. Now, the first thing you'll notice is that Paul prayed. He prayed that they would have this revelation. You and I need to pray. We need to ask. We need to say, Lord, I want revelation. We need to be specific. We need to go to the word and say, Father God, this scripture is not revelation in my heart. I want to have revelation. You have to draw the battlegrounds. You can't just pass by and say, oh, it would be nice to have revelation on that and move on. No. You see, we have to be specific. God always expects people to be specific if you want to receive. That's why I asked the blind man, what do you want? To me, it seems obvious what the man wants. But he insisted that the man was specific, that I may see. The moment he said, that I may see, he said, well, that's fine. You've got the faith. You can have it. So you see, we have to be specific. And I can't be specific for you. You and I have to be specific ourselves. But allow the Holy Spirit to draw your attention to the promises of God and see them and say, I want that. Don't be ashamed. Look God in the face and say, I want that. You see, once you do that, the battlegrounds are drawn and God is able to do it and we can be part of the process. So we have to ask. We have to pray. It also includes praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is a very, very important method of preparing ourselves, preparing us to receive revelation. Let's just flip to Jude. It's Jude, obviously, chapter 1, because there is only one chapter. It's the very last book before Revelation. And we read verse 20. All right, Jude 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord, Yeshua, the anointed, unto eternal life. Do you see that? Building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Building ourselves up. When we pray in the Spirit, it's like a generator. Our faith man begins to grow. Our spirit man is being pumped up. Our spirit man is being pumped up. Now let me put it this way. The revelation is up there and we are down here. I'm just explaining something graphically so we can grasp it. Now you see, you and I in the physical cannot reach up there. It's a spiritual thing. But our spirit man can reach for it, so to speak. But our spirit man has to be prepared, has to grow to the place where it can receive it. And that's how you and I can do it. You and I praying in the Holy Spirit. What happens? Our faith grows. Our faith grows without even being aware of it. Your and my faith grows. Grows, grows, grows. So here I am going around the swimming pool or whatever, etc., etc., whatever your tongue sounds like. Don't let anybody hear you. They think you're mad, but just keep going. You keep going. What's happening? Without knowing it, your spirit man is growing. Your spirit man is growing. And can I just say that there comes a stage where suddenly you break through. You and I, we break through. Our spirit man reaches into another realm. And that's the realm where we can receive revelation. You see? But we have to persist with it. We have to persist with it. And can I tell you that it'll take 2 hours? Can I tell you that it'll take 3 hours? Can I tell you that it'll take 10 minutes? I can't. Because you can't calibrate these things. Does everybody understand that? There's no sort of like textbook. Oh, if I want revelation on that, I have to pray for so many hours. Well, you see, the truth of the matter is the greater revelation that you're asking for, the greater the promise, in a sense, the longer time you might have to pray for it. And you might find you pray on one occasion and you have only got 2 hours and you do 2 hours or 1 hour, nothing happens. The temptation is to say, oh, this doesn't work and I'll just forget about that one for now. The devil laughs because now exactly what he planned has happened and you and I are denied revelation. What I'm saying is that sometimes it might take a few days, might even take a month, might even take a year. But you see, we have to persist. We have to keep praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, realizing that our spirit man is being activated, and that spirit man activated is the part of us that is able to receive revelation. Revelation is spirit of God to spirit of man. It's very much, if I can put it this way, you've got a big puddle and you've got a little puddle. When you take a stick and you draw the little puddle to the big puddle, they join up. You see? Have you done that? Well, you see, that's what this is like. You and I, our spirit man, is a little puddle, so to speak. There's the massive puddle of God out there. But as you and I pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit, pray and sing in the Holy Spirit. Have a wonderful time with God. What's happening? We're drawing closer. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. That little puddle is slowly but surely edging its way towards the big sea. And the moment does come. The moment does come. If you and I are persistent, where that breakthrough will take place and we will receive revelation and we'll just see things in a way we've never seen them before from the perspective of the Spirit, which is exactly what revelation is about. Some things are too big for your and my mind to grasp. You see, it takes humility to realize that. We are limited. The brain is a very powerful piece of equipment, great potential, but it is limited. Your and my understanding is limited. God's ways are not our ways. Especially when you're facing difficulties and you can't see a way through. You need revelation. Praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit is very often the answer. But it's not the only thing. Let me mention something else. And this is one that, of course, we all love, fasting. Can I just say this, that when you and I start to fast, that is a very powerful way of preparing ourselves to receive revelation. You all remember Daniel. If you read Daniel, we won't go there now for the sake of time, but if you read Daniel 10, 1 to 7, what happened? You see, the man was in the Word, and he saw something in the Word. He saw things that were supposed to happen. You see, he was using his mind and he saw it, but he recognized that although I can see it in my mind, intellectually, I can't grasp it. There's something more that needs to happen. The time was ready for it to happen. So what did he do? He stopped eating normal food. And we all know about the Daniel fast, etc., etc. And as a result of that, time of fasting, 3 weeks of that fasting, the time came where the angel appeared to him and gave him the revelation that he needed. And that is the pattern. Now let me just strip this whole fasting business of religious claptrap, okay, and theological persuasion. Let me explain it in simple English, right? When you and I fast, you and I look at our body and we tell it, you are talking too much, shut up. Simple as that. There's deep spiritual perception in that, because what is the problem? What's stopping us from hearing God? Our flesh, you see, our mind, our cares, our worries, etc. They get in the way. Our intellect will prevent us from understanding things like the power of God. Our intellect will stop us thinking about raising the dead, etc., etc. Our intellect will stop us from thinking that God can supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. So you see, what are we doing? When we fast, we're saying to our soulish man, which includes the body, we're telling it to shut up. You see? Shut up. And let me tell you, the body doesn't quietly just sit down and shut up. It says, under no circumstances am I going to shut up. You see? It keeps talking. But you keep telling it to shut up. And the way you tell it to shut up is to say, you're not going to eat anything until you do shut up. The body loves this. Oh, my soul. Throws a party. Hallelujah. You understand? When you and I start to fast, what are we saying? Spirit comes first. And what happens is this, you see. Slowly but surely, if we persist, if we fast, and please, we have to be careful, fast properly. Everybody is in a different way, has different ways of fasting. You've got to know about your physical condition, etc. But basically, what you're saying to your body is, I'm denying you what you just receive every single day. And you see, what starts to happen then is quietly, the body starts to quieten down. Slowly but surely, the body starts to quieten down. You see? Now, there's a hidden incentive in this as well. Because you see, you and I are designed to feed ourselves. Being created like that, the body sends certain signals. And the most important signal it sends is, I'm hungry. Feed me. You see? And that sort of information, as you and I fast, gets louder and louder. You see? Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. But you see, as you and I say, I'm not going to feed you. Because why? I want revelation. You understand? And you see, in the past we might have said, oh, that revelation would be nice. And what happens? The devil subtly distracts us and we're onto something else and this and that. But every time this body of ours shouts, feed me, you remember, oh no, I'm not going to feed you. I want revelation. Can you see that? It's an inbuilt incentive. It produces in us a desperation. Sometimes it almost ends up like this. You think to yourself, my soul, God better speak quickly, because if he doesn't, I'm not going to be able to enjoy that nice pork chop over there. You get it? And there's an inbuilt incentive to push in, push in, push in, until we hear from him. All the time what's happening? Our spirit man is becoming more and more sensitive to the spirit realm. It's starting to hear better as the body quietens down. Let me just tell you, this fasting business is extremely, extremely powerful. You and I look at something in the Bible, you know you haven't got it, you make a decision, Father God, I want this revelation. And you see, religion says, oh well, if God wants to give it to you, he will. But let me tell you, raw Christianity, in a sense, takes God by the neck and said, listen, buster, you either give it to me now or I die. Now people say, oh, you can't speak to God like that. Let me tell you something. What would God prefer? People that sort of lackadaisically think, oh, well, maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. Or people who look him straight in the face and say, you've said this, I need it. Amen. And it's not just for us, you see. It's to empower us to be the answer. Before this whole COVID thing, I made a wonderful prophecy. And let me tell you, it didn't take 2 cents of intelligence to make the prophecy. Common sense, really. The big problem is not this COVID, as bad as it is. The real problem is the famine that's stalking the land and is going to take over. You see, and what does God want? People that have a mamby-pamby approached him and say, oh, well, you know, if God wants us to, he'll do it. Or people who say, Father God, you promised, you delight yourself in the prosperity of your servant. You delight in the prosperity of your servant. I need to know how much you delight in my prosperity. You see, once you know, understand that, God's able to prosper us. Amen. And in this day and age, that is what God needs. People that are prospered. People for whom the word is true. Amen. People who live in the realm of revelation. You see, we've got to get this right, church. We've got to be that kind of people. We've got to be the kind of people who are not happy to sit around and let it all happen. Amen. We're not talking about doing it in our own strength. We're talking about doing it in God's strength. But what is God's strength? God's strength is his power, and his power is in his word. And the power that is in his word is available to those who believe. That we might understand the exceeding greatness of the power, his power, towards us who believe. Amen? Those who really believe. Who's going to really believe? The people who take this thing seriously and are desperate about it. We're not happy to just sit around and let the word play around in our earphones, etc., and say, oh, that's a beautiful scripture. I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Isn't this a blessing? Wonderful teaching. Blah-de-blah-de-blah. No, it's not good enough. It's not good enough anymore. You understand? That teaching that comes our way has to become part of us. It has to be us. The power of God has to be in us. We have to be the shining light that is able to make a difference, to cut through all the hogwash that is around, all the lies, all the deception that is swamping us right now as people of God. Amen. So I'm encouraging us. It's very important. Number one, realize that we don't have revelation, that we desperately need it. We need to ask for it, pray for it. We need to pray unceasingly. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to add to that, praying in the Spirit, this attitude of fasting. My flesh is less important than my spirit man receiving revelation. Amen? That is what Daniel said. My flesh is less important than receiving revelation from Almighty God. And when the angel came down and spoke to Daniel, what did he say? Oh man, mightily loved of God. Amen? Loved of God. Can you see that? Those who are desperate enough to get hold of God and get his word into us and let his word become part of us and to be his word, he loves it. There's one other thing I want to add, and this is something that I've experienced in our ministry a lot. Let's just go to Acts 10, 1-6. I just want to read there something of great importance that actually affects this receiving of revelation a great deal. All right, we have this individual called Cornelius. Now remember, Cornelius was not a Jew. All right. He was not a Jew, but he loved the Jewish people. He loved God. He prayed regularly. And God chose him as the portal through which he would reach an entire generation, Gentile generation. You all know the story of Peter, etc. But listen to the start of the story. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. At about the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send to Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Can you see that? Your prayers and your alms. What are alms? Giving. Giving. Can I just say this? Nothing releases the spirit of revelation more, possibly, than being a giving person. The Bible says freely give, freely receive, you see. If we don't freely give, we can't freely receive. there's like a short circuit. And can I just say this? We find that when you and I give, when we give to certain ministries, etc., when we give to the kingdom of heaven, it's so much easier to receive revelation. So much easier to receive revelation. You see, we let the flow go, as it were. We're part of the flow. We're not just talking about finance, but that is part of it. We're talking about a giving nature. When you and I cultivate a giving nature, we're setting ourselves up to receive. When we give in the physical, it releases us to receive in the spiritual. When we give in the physical, it enables us to receive in the spiritual. I had one example of this that sticks in my mind. I'll never forget it. Ministering in the hospital, in the intensive care, there were two little kids there, same age, same procedure. They'd just gone through exactly the same heart operation. I think it's hole in the heart, but they both had the same doctors, the same procedure, and there they were. And I bumbled into intensive care, and there the parents were. I asked them, can I pray as I used to do? And the one family, I think they were Greek, actually, but they were so thrilled that somebody had come to pray for their child. They couldn't say enough. Thank you so much, and I prayed for the child. Next door was this other family, I think Afrikaans family, but anyway, they allowed me to pray. They were quite happy for that to happen, and I prayed for their child. The next evening, I came through there, and I'm going to pray for the children again. Normally, the children are there for about a week after that operation. I came to the family, the Greek family, and they were so happy for me to pray. I prayed for the child, and the man didn't know whether to call me father or what. I said, call me Graham, and he gave me 100 rand. I said, well, 200 rand. He said, thank you so much for coming. I want you to have this. I said, look, I'm not asking for money. He said, I don't care. I want you to have it. And I was so happy. There we go. Went to the next patient and prayed for them again, as I did. Same prayer. Exactly the same prayer with the same heart for both children. Same condition. Guess what happened? Came there the next day, the one family had gone. Which one do you think it was? Which one do you think it was? Now please, you and I can't pay for God's blessing. Please, let's not try and do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can't set a price on any blessing of God. But what am I saying? Possibly, in that situation, what happened? Because the father had a giving heart, he wasn't just happy to receive. He wanted to bless. I believe that that released him to receive the healing anointing for his child. Increased his faith to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But you see, freely give, freely receive. Without even understanding it, by just having the right attitude. Cornelius, by just simply having the right attitude, being available to give, he was able to receive great revelation, which actually saved Gentile people. He was instrumental in opening the door for the gospel to reach the whole world. If you think about it, and what was the key? Because he prayed, gave alms, you see. He had the right attitude. He was just relying on God, loving God, blessing God. And God heard him. God heard him. The other example is Dorcas. You might remember Dorcas in the same passage just before. She died. She was a widow. And when Peter was summoned and came there, all the ladies would have showed him all the things she'd given to people. All the shawls, etc., she'd just knitted and given. You see, a heart of giving. And he was able to just raise her from the dead, very simply. No big struggle involved. We're not trying to buy God's favor. Please, don't get me wrong. But the attitude of giving releases God to give us revelation. To give us revelation. As you and I are responsible with what we have, God is able to impart to us. And it's partially to do with faith in us, trust in us. You see, the Lord said to his disciples, there's so much more I want to give you, but you're unable to bear it. This process of praying in the Spirit, of fasting, of giving, it expands us as human beings. It makes us better and bigger and stronger people. You see, and when you and I are responsible with what we have, with our bodies, with our resources, with our time, etc., when we show God we're responsible, he's able to say, okay, you're ready for the next one. You're ready for the next one. You see? And as we're responsible with that, right, you're ready for the next one. And we grow in these things. We open our mouth wide and he's able to fill it, you see? Ongoing process, opening our mouth wide so God himself can fill us. Please, you can listen to the most anointed teachings, the most anointed messages. You can have the greatest concordance, the biggest Bible, everything. You can have all the facilities at your disposal, and they are all very helpful. But at the end of the day, for that Bible of ours to come alive, what have we got to have? We've got to have revelation. We've got to allow God to reveal things to us. We use the Bible as God's mouthpiece. We allow Him to speak to us through it. It's not an idol in itself. You see, and the key is when we read those words, and they jump off the pages, when the Holy Spirit is involved in doing what? Using those words to speak to us, spirit to spirit, you see, and then we're receiving revelation, which is the lifeblood of God. Amen? The lifeblood of Christianity. Ongoing revelation from the Holy Spirit. Ongoing revelation. So I'm encouraging us as a church, this lockdown time, as difficult as it may seem, nothing can stop us from receiving revelation. Amen? And here's the time to allow the Holy Spirit, give Him time, meditate on the Word, cry out to God. You come across a scripture that you just know you don't know, say, Father God, I'm going to fast until this becomes part of me. You see, and when you and I have that attitude on an ongoing basis, we take things of God seriously enough to make ourselves uncomfortable, if necessary, to step out of the boat, if necessary, to go the extra mile, if necessary. When we do that, God is quick to hear. God is quick to hear and to bless us. And you see, in blessing us, we become empowered. And with that empowerment, we, as I've always said, are positioned to bless others, which is why we are here, in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.